This is Ben Flanagan with Ale.com with a bit of a special edition of the podcast Ram It Jam It. As many of you have probably heard by now, Birmingham-based artist Lee Baines and his band The Glory Fires performed in Fort Worth, Texas last night at a venue called the Live Oaks, which is a relatively prominent venue in the Fort Worth area that books music occasionally. It's actually called the Live Oak Music Hall and Lounge, which they describe themselves as Fort Worth's premier live music venue with a large selection of craft beer, wine, and spirits and full menu of great food in Fort Worth, Texas. That's the description on their Twitter account, and you can follow them at The Live Oak. And Lee Baines, whom has been interviewed on this podcast before, he performed, and we started seeing tweets and posts on Facebook and other social media platforms that the show got cut short because the Live Oak owner and sound engineer or sound man had determined that Lee Baines and his band, the Glory Fires, were playing too loudly in the venue, and they were not complying with house rules, as it were, at the Live Oak venue. And so they essentially and quite literally pulled the plug on the band, and it cut the show short. There were several people in attendance, fans of the band, folks who came specifically to see Lee Baines and the Glory Fires, including some Alabama natives who you'll hear from a little bit later. But we wanted to get an account of what exactly happened there, and I'll share with you in the post on AL.com some of the tweets and some of the statements made by the Live Oak and other folks who responded to the show. But you'll hear now from Lee Baines of Lee Baines and the Glory Fires, who I caught up with via telephone on Thursday afternoon, and you'll hear from Hunter Johnson, who is a Tuscaloosa native and is now a Fort Worth resident who is in attendance at the show. So we go now to Lee Baines on the phone. From your perspective, just tell me what happened last night.
Well, basically, we were playing a show in Fort Worth, and I guess we were, it's kind of like relatively arcane sort of band booking type stuff, but we were booked by a promoter. So when a promoter books a show, typically they aren't involved with the venue directly. They're essentially booking the night at the venue and then booking the bands that they want to play, right? So this was a show like that where we booked it with an outside promoter. And we got there, and I guess the promoter wasn't there. So the owner of the venue was there, and he was kind of talking to some of the guys in the band before the show about how he didn't like this promoter who booked the show and whatever and blah, blah, blah. So there was sort of a weird vibe in the air as it was, and we had done a sound check, as is normal, and as is also normal, the sound guy asked us to turn down our amps, which we, is going to happen. And so we turned them down and had them at a volume that I guess we were okay with or whatever. And then after we finished the sound check, or there at the tail end of it, the sound guy came up and covered up my amp with a what you call a baffle, which was in this case like a huge chunk of styrofoam with a burlap sack wrapped around it, which I was not too into. So when we started our set and the room started to fill up, which deadens sound, the more bodies that are in a room, the more sound is, or the more volume is decreased, as there's more absorptive material in the room. So when we started playing, when I started making noise on the guitar, I was like, well, it's not, this baffle is not going to work. So I took the baffle off, which in retrospect, it would have been more upfront if I'd told the guy that as soon as he put it up, like, man, that's probably not going to work for me, But once we were up there on the stage with the, with people in the room, and I put that first quarter in, I was like, yeah, this definitely isn't going to happen, So I took the baffle off, and we played a couple of songs, and folks who were there dug it, were having fun. We had people who had driven from outside of Dallas to the show. This was in Fort Worth, so people who had driven an hour or more to the show. My little brother was there, and a couple of friends who just moved out here from Atlanta were there. So people who have gone to see us many times and were excited, and who we were excited to see and all that. And the first couple songs were, everybody's into it, having fun or whatever. And partway through our third song, the sound guy came on stage and put the baffle back in front of the amp, which is like kind of a big no-no, you know, to come on stage during a band set and mess with their stuff. So I took the baffle back off the amp, and the guy said, well, I'm going to cut the power. And I was like, okay, we're a loud rock and roll band. Okay, you know what I mean? So we just kept playing, and the guy cut out the monitors, which is how singers hear themselves. You know, there's speakers on stage that, you know. So he cut the monitors. So Blake and I were up there. So we kept playing, and we were up there singing without being able to hear ourselves. I was like, well, I'm just going to keep playing, you know. And so, and I get, he might have dropped the volume as well, because at that point I started noticing people in the crowd going up to the sound booth and kind of pointing at their ears. You know, I guess like, I can't hear the vocals anymore. What happened? Yeah. And then like I don't remember exactly, because at that point it was so weird. I mean, that has never happened to me ever, that somebody come on stage during a set and mess with your stuff. You know, usually like the kind of deal is like the only time that sound guy or a stage tech or whatever, you know, maybe working that night would ever come on stage is if something is screwed up, you know, like if a mic becomes disconnected or a cable, or, you know, if a, you know, a guitar breaks a string and there's a guitar tech there, he'll run on and grab the guitar to change the string, that kind of thing. So that I think we were all in such a state of like, what is going on right now, that I kind of forgotten exactly the order of what happened. But at one point the owner came up, the guy I was referencing earlier, came up and was saying, you just got to turn down. This is too loud and everything. And as a, you know, quick aside, everybody at the show, almost every single person at the show last night has seen us play before. I would say 80% of the people there have seen us play before. And every one of them that I talked to afterward said, man, that was the quietest set we've ever heard y'all play. Like, I could hear the vocals better than I've ever, you know, when it started out. That was the, you know, I've seen y'all at, you know, at the Earl in Atlanta, or at Egan's, or at Green Bar, or whatever, Bottle Tree, and it's done way louder than that. But in any event, the guy's, you know, pitching a fit. And so he comes on stage, the owner comes on stage, and says, you got to turn it down, it's just way too loud. And I was like, well, man, this is how we play. Like, we're a rock band, and you booked a rock band. You know, like, if you didn't want us to play, then you shouldn't have booked us. And he said, well, I didn't book you. The promoter fucking booked you. And it's like, well, that's still not, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's sort of, the owner of the venue agrees to let the promoter have a show there. So by proxy, he agrees to have that band there. You know what I mean? Like, midway through the band set is a pretty inopportune time to decide that you don't want to book that band at your venue. So in any event, if that, when he gets off stage, they straight up, cut the power to the PA. So the PA is completely off. So there's no vocals happening at that point. And then the people who are there are really getting mad because they've driven and they've come to see this band play. And now they can't hear the vocals. The vocals are not being amplified at all. And that, I think, is really what set these guys off. When people were like, dude, turn up the volume, you know, turn the PA back on. So they literally closed the curtain. There's a curtain on the stage, and they literally closed it on us. So we kept playing despite the curtain being closed, and then they just flipped the breaker to the stage, completely killing the power. So all the amps are now silent. And yeah, that's about it. After that, you know, the guy, the owner and the sound guy were saying, well, these guys were just too loud and whatever, and, you know, all the people there are saying, no, they're not. We like, that's what we came to see, you know, like, what's going on? So, I don't know. This morning when you texted, I was sort of ambivalent about talking about it, because I'm like, man, it can be chalked up to a miscommunication or whatever, but now these guys at the venue have gone on social media and are giving an account of what happened that is not accurate, and they're saying that I cussed at them and I yelled at them, and which is not true, and anybody who was there last night can clarify that is not the case. So they just posted that like 20 minutes ago.
I see it's on Facebook. It's what you linked to.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, I mean, in this thing that they said, that it says that y'all violated house rules. Was it made clear to you that what you were doing prior to your going on, what you do would be violating house rules? Do you feel like you broke the rules?
No, and was it absolutely not.
Was it clear to you that, you know, you shouldn't play the way you normally play?
Absolutely not. And that is, we're kind of fortunate in that I'm fortunate in that I've been doing this for a while and now have a booking agent, which is great, you know, and he's a great guy in Nashville named John Prine. And when you book a show through a more official, you know, channel like that than what I would do myself, you literally have a contract. There's a literal contract that is exchanged. Nowhere in that contract did it have any stipulation about volume or noise levels or whatever, you know. So, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I would assume that, and it's just out of experience, you know, when a venue books a rock band, they are going to have to deal with the fact that they play like a rock band, you know, and it's not going to be at a speaking volume or whatever they were expecting. So, yeah, they said something about house rules. I certainly never saw any house rules. I heard two very irrationally angry guys barking about, you know, being too loud. That's what I heard, you know. So I would think that if they don't want loud bands playing at their place, they shouldn't book loud bands, you know. Any review, you know, if you Google our band and read one article about a show, I guarantee the word loud is going to be in there. It's nothing else, you know. If you watch one video of us playing live. So I did not see those house rules of which they wrote.
Yeah, I mean, the terminology they use is that you destroyed the respect that they pride themselves in, respect for music, respect for artists, respect for customers and patrons. I mean, what do you think of that language?
Well, I thought that was a pretty fascinating, that was pretty fascinating diction there with their use of the word respect and the fact that they let off with respect for the music, you know, when, like I said earlier, that's the first time, and I've played, I don't know, over the course of my life, I've probably played 1,000 shows, you know, or approaching it, you know, and I've never in my life had a sound guy, none of that happened, has ever happened to me before, where somebody comes up and messes with my gear while I'm on stage in the middle of a set. I've never had the PA cut off, ever. I've never had, certainly never had a curtain closed on me or the power of the stage cut off. So I think respect is a pretty ironic word choice there on their part. The whole thing had just as soon as we got off stage, I was reminded of that scene in Back to the Future where Huey Lewis says, you know, guys, it's just too darn loud. It felt like Footloose or something. Like, I felt like I was out of time, you know, that because we are, you know, I mean, again, like anybody who knows us and was there at the show knows, you know, I mean, we are a loud rock and roll band and whatever, but at the end of the day, we're four guys from Birmingham whose mothers taught us to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and who are, you know, grateful to people for having us and all that. This is certainly the first time anybody has ever accused us of being disrespectful. So I guess, you know, I think it's funny in a sense because it is so wildly inaccurate. Their comments, I mean, or their statement or whatever. But it's also, you know, once I read that, that's when I decided, like, I'm actually going to give an account of what happened because I take a lot of pride in treating people well and in being courteous and polite and whatever, you know. But there's a big difference between being respectful and being a doormat. You know, we've driven 6,000 miles on this tour. I've been away from home for a month, and I'm not going to show up to a venue and have somebody tell me that I need to change the way my band sounds because they don't like it. And particularly when there are people who've driven for over an hour to see our band play the way they want to hear it. So I don't want to say anything ugly about those guys or anything like that. I wasn't really interested in doing that. I thought it was really more of like a kind of comedy of errors than anything. But when I saw that this morning, I definitely felt like I needed to clear the air, you know?
You know, this may be beside the point, but like you said, there's a binding contract that you guys have
sure.
prior to your performances, in that you have a booking agent who gets you these shows. Were you paid
right.
for the appearance?
We were not. They did not pay us, which I didn't expect they would with the way they acted. I didn't, you know, there was nothing in their behavior that suggested to me they would pay us. So I didn't even pursue that. There was a lot of vitriol coming from their side of things, that's for sure. And I wasn't interested in really escalating that or participating in that. So, yeah, so we weren't paid. Some of the people who came to see us got their money back from the door and then gave that money straight to us, which was very cool of them to do.
How many
that
people,
was just kind of out of the kindness of their own hearts.
How many people would you say were there in the audience?
Not a lot, you know. I would say there were, when we played, there were probably like 20 people there.
Describe the venue.
I'm trying to think. It's kind of a weird layout. There's a music hall portion that's kind of akin to maybe, the place overall reminds me somewhat of Work Play in Birmingham. You know,
yeah.
Like there are several, it seems like it's got a couple of three different things going on. But there's a music room that's, I don't know, roughly the size of Green Bar, I would say. The place is called Live Oak Music Venue, I believe. That's what it says on the marquee, something to that effect. So it's ostensibly a venue. There's a primary music room, and then there's a separate room that seemed to be separated by the kitchen, where there's a bar and like three or four tables, you know, four or five or six, something like that, 3 to 6 tables. So there, it's, I would describe it as a music venue that has food. Yeah, kind of like I don't know if Work Play has food, but it would be something roughly equivalent to that. The room we were playing in was a music room, you know what I mean? Then they have like an upstairs, like a rooftop patio situation where I didn't go up there. I didn't venture up there, but I'm not exactly sure what that looked like. In any event, yeah, like in the comments, I guess the dude is saying something about we drove out restaurant patrons and whatever, and the guy said something about that last night, and a couple of people, I was there before the show on the, I guess what they're calling the restaurant side. It's like a bar, you know, with a few tables. But when I was in there just before the show started, we started playing at 8:10. And when I was in there at 8 o'clock, there were 3 people in the bar. There were 2 guys, you know, around our age sitting at the bar drinking, and 1 guy with gray hair sitting there drinking. And so the guy was saying that we drove out the restaurant crowd, but when these 2 friends of mine that I talked to after the show said that they had, because they walked over to that side to get a drink at some point, and they said that the 2 guys were still there and just the 1 gray-headed guy had left. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I wasn't there to see that because I was on stage. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what was going on the other side of the wall, but that's what was reported to me, and that's what I saw 10 minutes before we started.
Has this put any sort of like damper on the mood of the band right now? I mean, what's next for you guys? What's the next show, and what's the attitude of you and the rest of your bandmates?
Oh, I mean, we feel great, really. In a way, there's something like pretty energizing about, and just kind of absurdly exhilarating about the fact that rock and roll can still anger people so much. So I think we're all kind of tickled, really. And we're playing in Austin tonight at a cool bar. And, you know, I mean, this is definitely an aberration. We have never, ever, ever experienced anything like that. And we just finished a cross-country tour. Last night was like our 20-something show, you know, 25th show or something on this tour. And nothing like that is even close to that. And, you know, we've gotten like really good responses, and sound guys come up on stage afterward and they're like, oh man, you'll sound great. And all that, you know, that's what we're accustomed to. So I think, you know, we all definitely view last night as an aberration and really just a good story. And really the only thing that bummed me out about it was that people did come to see us. And one guy on Facebook said that he'd considered, I'm glad he didn't, but he said he'd considered taking off work and driving from Abilene, Texas to come to see the show. I had some friends who drove from about 20 miles east to Dallas, so over an hour to the show, and they're a couple, and the wife is several months pregnant, and they thought it was great. You know, they wish me to play longer and all that stuff, and so that bums me out. But everybody there understood too. You know, they said, well, we came to see y'all do what y'all do. You know, we would rather, I don't know, nobody, I think everybody understood what happened and was disappointed in the way the folks at the venue acted. And I think it's safe to say that none of the people who were there last night will be going back to that place, you know, which I think is probably why the venue is being so aggressive and disingenuous with their story, you know. Probably trying to curtail that.
Well, I appreciate you helping to clear the air on it. You know, sorry, you guys. It sounds like, you know, it was an interesting night, to say the least. And like you said, you've got a story to tell at the very least.
Right.
So, but thanks again, man.
Well, all right. Well, thanks for calling, dude.
Yeah, thank you, and have a good show tonight in Austin, man.
Thanks, bud. Talk to you later.
All right, bye. I next spoke to Hunter Johnson, who is a Dallas-Fort Worth resident and a Tuscaloosa native. And for the sake of transparency, Hunter is somebody who contributes to AL.com as a guest podcaster on the Alabama Football Podcast with Matt Scalici, and that's a podcast that I also participate in. But Hunter was in attendance at this Lee Baines show at Live Oaks in Fort Worth, and here's his account of what happened.
I got to the show, and actually I saw Lee outside and talked to him for a minute. He, you know, he saw me walk up and was like, hey, what's up, Hunter? How's it going? And, you know, I was really looking forward to the show because, you know, living out here in Fort Worth, I don't get to see him very often. It's kind of like a little home. I was really looking forward to it. And I've been to Live Oak for a couple of other shows. I saw Amanda Shires there and Milo Green, which are definitely more quiet bands. But I was really looking forward to it. I bought my ticket. I actually bought a table up on the very front row. And they came out and they played, you know, and they played their normal style, just like every other time I've seen, you know, the Glory Fires play. And during, like, I guess the third song, I've later found out to be the owner, walked up and was, like, motioning it at Lee to turn it down. And, like, I was probably 5 feet from the guy who was telling him that. And Lee just didn't even really acknowledge him at this point. And I said to the guy, I didn't realize he was the owner at this point, but I'm like, hey, what are you doing, dude? Like, are you trying to turn it down? He's like, yeah, they're too loud. They're too loud. And I was like, dude, do you work here? He's like, yeah, I'm the owner. I was like, well, you book them. This is a rock and roll show. Don't book a rock and roll band if you don't want rock and roll music. He was like, they don't have to be this loud. They don't have to be this loud. This is how they play. And he's like, well, if they don't continue, I'm going to shut them off. I was like, well, yeah. I was like, you're terrible. And so the next song, like, they don't ever turn it down. And eventually, like, actually, the sound guy even cut Lee's vocals completely out, I guess trying to get them to turn their instruments down. And they didn't budge. They just kept on. And so the next song, the dude came up, like, they still didn't turn down. And he went up and said something to Lee, and Lee just kind of shook him off. And the dude walked over and shut the curtain. And so if he shuts the curtain, me and who I later found out was Lee's brother, who I think was in Dallas, we went over and held the curtain open because they were still playing and they hadn't turned the sound off yet. So we hold the curtain open for probably 30, 45 more seconds. And finally the guy kills the sound. And Lee walks out and pretty much continues singing the rest of the song that he was in the middle of playing, like kind of screams it. And it just kind of like, it was kind of hectic at that point because people were getting mad at the owner. Like the only people who own the owner's side were the owner and the sound guy. Everybody else was pissed because they came there to see a rock and roll show. And the owner maintained that it was hurting, that they were too loud and it was hurting their dinner business, which, one, it's their fault for not having enough soundproofing between the restaurant side and, you know, the theater side. And the thing is, when I walked in there 20 minutes before, there were like two people in there eating dinner. So, like, it's not like that many people were run off. And I also said, if they didn't want to sit through that, then the food must not be very good. And so pretty much the owner then comes out and says that it'll give us our money back. And I responded, I was like, well, I want my money to go to the band. He was like, well, the band gets 50% of the gate. And I was like, well, fine, just give me my money back. I'll give all $15 to the band then. And so I went out, got my refund, and walked back in and gave it to Lee. Then Lee ended up coming outside, and we chatted for a while and just kind of talked about how just ridiculous the whole thing was. And I apologized to him as a Fort Worth resident. It embarrassed me as a Fort Worth resident that they would do that. And I'll never go back to that venue ever. I'll never go back to Live Oak ever again. And it sucks because I live here in Fort Worth and I love good music. And that's the type of venue that you know, books decent acts, one that you would think I'd want to support, but they could book U2 and I wouldn't go.
You too, huh? Well, you are a Fort Worth resident. You have been there before. You have supported the venue before and enjoyed shows there. And this is something that I would imagine is the first time in your experience that you've seen happen at that venue. Why now do you say you will not go back?
Because they don't love rock and roll music.
It's that cut and dry for you? I mean, this sounds like a very unusual experience.
If you're going to shut off a band who's playing the same way they always do, and you booked that band. They booked Lee Baines and the Glory Fires. They didn't book Lee Baines Acoustic. They booked Lee Baines and the Glory Fires. When you book a band, you are saying, I want you to play in my venue. Well, now the venue's coming back and, like, trying to lie and say that Lee cussed at him and told him to get the F up off the stage. I was standing right there. Lee Baines did not say that.
Yeah, I've seen this Facebook response and this social media response from the venue who have come out and said that Lee Baines and the band disrespected or actually destroyed the respect that the venue prides themselves in for respect for music, the artists, the customers and the patrons, respect for the food they serve and the drinks they pour and respect for the staff. They say that Lee Baines destroyed that. What do you think of that?
See, people whose respect was destroyed was people like me who respected that venue before. And others who were there to see a rock and roll show, I lost all respect for that venue because I paid to see a rock and roll show and I didn't get to see a rock and roll show.
Would you say that this is one of the more unusual or bizarre live music experiences that you've had in a while?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I have to say that holding that curtain open for, you know, those 30, 45 seconds is probably the most rock and roll experience I'll ever feel. I'll never be in a band or anything, but that was the most, like, you know, rock and roll thing I'll probably ever be.
Well,
I think they lost a lot of business. I hope that they fail as a venue now and that somebody who loves rock and roll music will move into that venue.
Well, you know, it seems like somebody like you who's from Tuscaloosa in Alabama, I guess more broadly, and you know that this band whom you've seen before and this band from Alabama, that I'm sure this was a show that you specifically were looking forward to, and for this to happen, I'm sure it was disappointing. I mean, you have a story to tell now, but you went there to see a Lee Baines and the Glory Fires show. I mean, I know you're barely a day removed from it, but I mean, how do you feel about the experience now? I mean, was it a negative experience, or are you looking at it more positively?
I'm definitely looking at it more positively. I mean, I hate that I'm not going to go to that venue anymore, and I hate that they took away the opportunity to see a band that I really wanted to see. But that's a show that I'll tell people about. I'll one day, you know, maybe if you know, tell, Lord willing, my kids how I went to a rock and roll show that got shut down for non-compliance, which non-compliance is, they used that in their tweet last night, Lobo did. Non-compliance is like the most rock and roll thing ever. For some old dude to shut down a band for non-compliance, I mean, that's so rock and roll. And I look forward to, like, I'll tell my kids about it one day. And me and Lee were actually talking after the show. Like, that's the first time that's ever happened. And I said, yeah, well, it made for a great story. And he was like, hell yeah, it will.
Gotcha. Well, thanks again, Hunter. We appreciate it.
Okay, no problem, dude.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.